So, here I am today, and I'm talking to Dean.
Dean.
Dean, fantastic store you've got here, and such wonderful handcrafted products, and I'm going to talk to you about them and come to the favourite at the end. But we've known each other for quite a number of years. I'm thinking, when I was walking across town, possibly nearly 10.
Must be 10 years.
And in those days, you were in the corporate world.
Yes, indeed. Seven Trent treating me well, as they do. So I left the job after 10 years to become a soap manufacturer. The soap that I brought to you, I don't know, a couple of years ago, I think, somebody raised the question of the legality of selling it. So I had to take it off the market while I went through the regulatory procedures. And in that space of time, my hobby, spoon carving, wood carving work that I do, became my primary focus. And it's really developed from there, really, just trying to find new products continually. And then it's become about the energy of the wood and the energy then of the runes. I've been interested in the runes since 1985. My mother bought me a book for Christmas, The Book of Runes by Ralph Blum. And leaving the job allowed me the space to work on my personal development, my spiritual path. And to me, the Elder Futhark is the perfect material to work with, being from Northern Europe. So I think there's an argument to be made the different traditions fit more closely. So for me, the I Ching is something that I can't really connect with. The tarot, a little bit easier, maybe 50-50, but for the runes, it seems quite a natural fit.
Very interesting that you say that. Some years ago, I was talking to a friend of mine who is a Native American Indian, and that is how he likes to be called, Ambrose. And I once asked him about what he felt about people who followed, Europeans who followed the Native American Indian path. His answer was so much in parallel to what you've just said. He said, I can't understand it. You've got such phenomenal Nordic traditions and Celtic traditions in your own psyche. Why would you want to travel to the other side of the world when you've got an equal system? And would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know a lot about the Native American culture because, I have no entry point into it. I heard about this recently, a bit of a controversy over white sage. Somebody saying you don't need a bundle, you know, it's a sacred plant. So now I'm questioning my tobacco use as well, which is
interestingly, this is a bit of a conflict here, because Alan Wood, who stands at our shows, spends a lot of time with the elders of the Lakota tribe, and we were lucky enough for Alan to do a demonstration of the Lakota clearing ritual using sage. Now, the most important thing that I found there was that the Lakota choose to use earthenware pots to burn the sage in, because they say if you use shells, then you're working with the spirit of the sea. Now, they take the sage, the dry sage, and put it into the pot, but they also add tobacco to it, and that's traditionally how they burn it. They burn quite vast quantities of it, because their opinion is there was a lot of white sage on the plains in America, and tobacco is a native plant, so they burn that as well. But the ritual actually is to allow the smoke to carry the dark spirits to the mother god to dissipate the evil. Very, very interesting. So it's strange, isn't it, that in the conversation that you've just had, that almost by intuition, you've paralleled exactly the same thoughts as another tribe, if you like, another culture, 5,000 or more miles away. Yeah. So there must be something deep in the psyche of all human beings which brings us together, in the same way that when we look at a lot of spiritual traditions across the world, across generation upon generation, the symbol of the tree and its roots are always there.
Yeah, yeah. Yggdrasil is a big part of my work. It's amazing how, if you look at the world from the point of view of the world tree, then of course everything in the world is part of the world tree. And I will start a carving and it will turn into the world tree. For example, the eight-legged horse, Odin's eight-legged horse, is very easily transforms into that, yeah. It's very interesting what you were saying about the energy. So a lot of people do pyrography with the runes. It's really clear. Let me grab them. This is my standard reference. It's really clear that they were designed to be carved against the grain with a metal tool. That's really clearly what they're designed to be done. Odin asks in Havamal, do you know how to carve? Do you know how to stain? So people now, they use pyrography tools. They take a branch and they slice it into slices and then work on the end grain, which as a woodworker is something that I would never do. Firstly, I take the pith out, the central piece of a branch has got pith, and that will create instability. So as a spoon carver, the first thing that I do is get rid of that instability. I don't know if I really want to get into that too. I'm kind of like, stop torturing these pieces of wood and use a metal tool. You know, the sharp knife is the symbol of the intellect. So I've broken my practice down looking at the elemental correspondences. So the earth, my body is the earth, my temperature is the fire, my blood is the water, my breath is the air. So then on the next level of correspondences, the wood that I'm working with is the earth, the knife that I'm using is the intellect.
You earlier spoke about the correspondences of the tarot. Now, when I used to teach the tarot, people used to say swords, they're cruel cards. And I say, well, of course they can be cruel cards, because the sword represents the alchemical element of air, and air represents one's thoughts and intellect. So again, the correspondences that you've worked with for many, many years have a parallel. Very fascinating. Now, the point that we've got here is I'd like to just come back to the runes. Do you read them for people, or do you use them for meditational purposes for yourself?
I use them for meditational purposes. I do offer people a reading to create a personalised talisman. So these talismans here are based on more of a Neolithic. They're more of a generic thing, again, exploring the energy. I like to produce, to do a reading, to do a consultation, to look at, not in the sense of past, present, future, I do a Three Kings reading based on High, Just as High, and Third. They're called the names of Odin, different disguises. So, and also I've begun casting them, so the whole lot, and seeing how they fit together, again, looking at this integration of, and then to talk with them and to then carve. One side I carve the name, and the other side I carve a kind of a symbol which will hopefully inspire them. Not like it's a magical device. It's always the person themselves, of course, that does the work. So maybe it's an inspirational thing. It's something to think about, something to work with in the mind. I've had a lot of interesting ideas about these. I'm hopeful that the energy that I'm able to imprint onto these pieces through my process will kind of leap out of the piece without needing too much information. So just by hopefully looking and using it as a meditation tool, as a learning aid, then that energetic dimension will imprint onto the person. Yeah.
The talismans fascinate me as well. They're not overly expensive. They're really beautiful. And I think that talismans, again, have incredible history, particularly with the Jewish system of the Kabbalah, very much of symbolism and talismanic work with all of that system, where people carry talismans with them and they use them for certain methodologies and focal points. So you could actually get a talisman, wear it and give it a purpose, perhaps wealth, perhaps love, perhaps caring, whatever it is. But it was interesting that you said that, of course, it's the person that instigates the idea earlier. And do you feel that's the same if you carried a talisman?
Yes, absolutely. I'm kind of looking at the universe, the whole, you know, the way that we're all connected. We're all unique beings within that universe. And I hope that I can inspire people to actually look within and to find actually what's really going on for themselves, rather than to be gifted knowledge or to read a book about it. I read a lot. I read a lot of books and I get so much goodness from them, but it doesn't compare to experience, and that experience is where it lies, I think.
I'm an avid reader. Interestingly, Liz and I have just boxed up 460 books from our library, which needed to be moved because it needed to be thinned out. The knowledge that you get from books, of course, is the thoughts of other people, and we unify those thoughts and form our own opinion from them. The work that you do is almost inspirational, Dean. The products that you make are truly unique. They are truly of the earth. And if I may say so, there's no wastage here, because I'd imagine a lot of the wood you've picked up that's already fallen.
Yeah, a lot of it. I was very lucky to find some yew tree at Woolerton Hall that had fallen over. I would never actually chop down a piece of living yew tree. But if it falls off, it's mine. Yeah, it's connects to the ancestors and to grief and to but also to the continuation of humanity. I think it's a really amazing thing. Pear wood is often seen as gaming pieces. They use them for gaming pieces, and I think I've found out why, because it's, you only get little bits of it. There's so many knots in it and so many little rotten bits that you only get little pieces. So perfect material for chess sets or for a game. This little guy's a piece of pear wood. Little hanged man that I made, yeah.
Dean, let's get to the nitty gritty.
Yeah.
Let's start with the soap. How much would it cost for one of the bars of soap that you make?
I do single bars for £4. Three for 10, and I offer them boxed as well, so half bars, so you get all six varieties for £10 in a box, and that also includes the fill me up scheme, so people, if they return the box to me, because I put a lot of effort into these boxes, there's 12 different ink stamps on each box that I've handmade all of these, so I want people to reuse them. I don't see it as a disposable packaging, so I offer people £9. Bring it back and I'll do it for £9. Again, I do six bars. This is my travel set. So a family can go away and they all get their own bar of soap if they want it. Again, that's the equivalent of a bar, so I do that for £4. But again, if you bring it back, I'll fill it up a bit cheaper as well, you know, to get that value out of the box.
And we must say that all of these soaps are now 100% within all legislation.
Absolutely, yeah. I have made a new, very exciting soap that's not for sale. I'm going to be giving it away at the end of July. A very special soap.
Good, and maybe we'll do a review on that.
Uh, make sure you get some.
So next, how about the talismans, which I find fascinating? How much will they cost?
They're £4.50. So again, a variety of wood. I've got damson, cherry, pear wood. This is yew tree. All kinds of different wood. I did want to mention actually that these are stained with earth from Clifton. You know, the cliffs at Clifton, the red cliffs. I actually went and harvested the cliff there and extracted the pigment and made my own oil paint. And they're varnished with the cherry resin varnish that I made as well. So I boiled the cherry resin down and made a varnish. So I finished them to a very high standard. I spend a lot of time sanding and re-varnishing and messing about. If you watched me from outside my kitchen, you would think, what is he messing about? But, you know.
And finally, the runes, which are truly beautiful and inspiring.
These pieces, yeah. What was the question, sorry?
So, finally, the runes, Dean. If you were going to buy a full set, how much it's going to cost?
These runes I'm selling for £20, the runes for divination. These are cherry wood. These are stained with the hibiscus. So I've done three coats of hibiscus there. The wood is harvested before the fruit forms. And again, a very long process of sanding to get a really nice smooth finish, and three coats of hibiscus. And during that process, I do the appropriate galder, you know, that, as they call it, the singing. You sing the life into them.
And as you'll see from the photographs, because obviously this is a audio recording, you will see the quality of these runes is absolutely fantastic. And I'd imagine after years upon years of using them, they'll grow a beautiful patina for the person who uses them, and they're absolutely fantastic. And of course, the other thing is something that I'm sure Dean will know. If I was going to buy a set of these runes, I would get my camera and I'd photograph them, because as a rune reader, not myself, but I know a few rune readers, now and again they do lose their runes. But with Dean, if you lost a rune, you could send him a photograph and I'm absolutely certain he'd make the replacement.
I probably potentially could. I think my advice would be contact me for a whole new set. It's a family. When I carve them, it's kind of a family. My advice would be throw them on the fire and get a new set.
Fantastic. Just one last thing. Are we over here? What are we looking at here?
Runic meditation aids, learning tools, really exploring the. Yeah.
Good. And how would one understand what was in the runes? Say a customer buys. I'm going to do it because I'm going to need to take a photograph of it, but say if the customer buys this wonderful one that's got the red.
This is the Web of Weird. This is the symbol from which all the runes can be found. Yeah, all the runes are in there. So if you superimpose all the runes all on top of each other, that's what you get. So I kind of worked through this process. So here you've got four runes superimposed over each other. Here you've got three runes. So I kind of really wanted to develop the Web of Weird for myself, not to see a picture on the internet and say, there's the Web of Weird, now I'm going to carve the Web of Weird and carve it just how they show you on the internet. You put it into Google Images, that's what you see, pretty much. I wanted to go from first principles to say, I'm going to generate this myself. So all of these pieces are really working towards this. It may look a bit of an anticlimax, this piece, after you've seen all these beautiful colours. But this is what I was aiming for a lot of these pieces. And then I saw it on the correspondences of the days of the week, as I was saying. Something that really interests me, that the days of the week, we use the names of Norse gods for the days of our week. It just seems so strange. then, of course, I found out the names. We're actually using the names of the English gods. They're very similar. In Norse, it's Tyr. In English, it's Tyr. And then breaking that down into the gematria, we see T-Y-R or T-I-W, and you see very different energies. One of them represents the Norse, the Viking, raiding, and one represents the English sense of stability. The two peoples obviously had very different ideas of what a warrior means.
Again, we've got these parallels and associations of cultures, which is fantastic. Well, from a very noisy Victoria Market, I must thank you for your time, Dean. It's been a pleasure to have spoken to you. And anybody who's interested in Dean's work, at the bottom of this article will be all the details for you to contact him. I can certainly recommend the soap. It's absolutely beautiful. The talismans is beautiful. And if you're looking for a set of runes, look no further. You will get runes made by somebody who absolutely understands the runes, has spent many years researching them, and that energy must be within every piece that you buy. Thank you very much indeed, Dean.
Thanks a lot, Ian. Nice one.
Thank you for downloading this talk. Lizzian Events organise unique wellbeing shows. We are dedicated to community-driven events which connect visitors to the exhibiting community. Lizzian Events shows are centred on visitors discovering new ways to find happiness and well-being. The shows are inspirational and enjoy a superb reputation for a calm and relaxing atmosphere. During a weekend visit, visitors enjoy up to 50 free inspirational talks. If you can make a contribution to the talk schedule or have an interest in the community, contact Lizzian Events to find out how you can work with this growing and influential organisation. Read the daily Lizzian Events news to keep up with show information, the community, and inspirational ideas. Thank you.